It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I'm a Life and Love Transformational Coach at Your Next Amazing Story. I'm so excited because we have a very special guest today, Lisa Campion, and she's a psychic counselor and Reiki master. And today, we are talking about It's Never Too Late to Tap Into Your Intuition to Find Love Again. So welcome, Lisa. I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm just so happy to be here with you today.
I know. So can you first share with the ladies, what is a psychic counselor?
Sure. Well, honestly, I think I made it up because I'm sort of doing things my own way, you know, but I've been working as a psychic for most of my life. I started when I was 19, doing psychic readings for people, and I've been doing it ever since. And a little while into that, I decided I wanted to learn counseling, you know, because I felt like I needed a little more help. I needed a little more skills and a little more tools to help people. So I combined psychic work, intuitive work with people, and counseling. And then I threw in about 20 years ago, I learned some energy work, some Reiki, and threw that in there too. So I kind of work with people on all of those levels.
Now, I personally know what Reiki is, but I know a lot of people don't know what Reiki is. So can you explain what that is?
Sure. Yeah. I think it's great. It's a gentle but powerful hands-on energy healing technique from Japan. And it moves energy through the body, sort of like acupuncture or any of those things that help us move our energy through our body. And I live in Boston, and there's Reiki in all of the big Boston City hospitals. If you go to the hospital here, there's Reiki people that will come in and work on you. So it's getting more popular, and you can find it around them. If you live in New York City, you're definitely going to find Reiki.
Yeah, because most people that live in New York City need Reiki, because yeah. I found when I went in for treatments, it would just calm me. And I would go in there like frantic and a little anxiety, and I would come out there like so zen. I was like, oh, no big deal. I feel great.
So glad you do it.
Yeah. So now let's talk about, because you were sharing with me before that a woman could really tap into her own intuition and psychic abilities to find love again. But before we jump into how a woman can do that, can you share with the ladies what the difference is between intuition and psychic abilities? Because I think women have a general idea, but they may not know exactly what that is.
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question. So intuition is something that we all have as human beings. You know, women have, I think, a little more, you know, when they talk about women's intuition. And intuition is like our own inner wisdom, our own knowing. And it's a combination of what's happening in our body, so how our body feels about things, what's happening in our emotions, you know, whether we are, what our emotional state is, or we say, you might say, I have a good feeling or a bad feeling about it, right? And then there's sort of the gut, like what happens in your belly, which is the, I don't know why I know, I just know. And that's more of a gut knowing. And those three things together equal your intuition. And they often come together and they often agree with each other. And when they do, that's something we really need to learn how to listen to. Like many people get intuitive hits, but they don't listen. Or your intuition is telling you something and your mind is telling you something else. And you know, I'm sure you know what happens when you don't pay attention to your intuition. Like it's maybe not, we learn things the hard way sometimes when we don't follow our intuition. Psychic, does that make sense? Does that explain a little to you what it is?
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. So would you say that almost nothing's 100%, but would you say like 99% of the time our intuition, if we feel those three things, that it's pretty spot on?
Yes, I would say that it's very spot on. And our intuition is interesting because it's the part of us that's the most connected to our soul. you know. So your soul, or that your higher self, whatever you want to call it, is always downloading information to you. It's always trying to guide you, to align you with your purpose, or help you find your soulmate, you know. And it never speaks to your mind. Your mind gets in the way. Your mind is sort of a problem sometimes in these soulful conversations. So learning to listen to your intuition. Now, what happens, I think, is your intuition will take you away from what your mind tells you to do. That's not always convenient, or it's not always, socially acceptable. It's, can put you outside the box a little bit, but I think in the long run, it's always right. Pretty much, yeah.
So, would you say that when it comes to intuition, that sometimes women think too much and they allow that to override what's really going on in their gut and their heart of what they
Yeah.
feel is right?
Exactly. I do. And especially probably the kind of, especially the kind of woman you and I are, we are really smart and go-getters. And, you talked about this with me when I had you on my radio show, and you really nailed me. You got me like, okay, I'm a smart, achieving, successful woman who's trying to, I'm an entrepreneur and all that stuff. Our type of woman really can sometimes lose too much of their intuition. So the intuition is the feminine side, the feminine part of us, and the mind represents the masculine part. And I do think we need balance. We can't like throw over logic and reason for living a completely intuitive life. I think somewhere in the middle, there's a real sweet spot. But I see people, give up their intuition and live a little bit too much. The mind is sometimes filled with other people's scripts, what your parents told you to do, or what your programming from your childhood is really like, or what happened when you got burned the last time in a relationship. Like our mind gets a little locked on that, and our intuition may be pulling us in a different direction.
Got it. Okay, so what is psychic abilities now?
Psychic ability is different. It's a little different. So everyone has intuition, and everyone has some psychic. I think of psychic ability like athletic ability. Everyone's got some. Some have more than others. And psychic is the ability to receive information from outside our own system. From maybe your grandmother who passed away, or the saints and the angels that you pray to. So it's really, if you've heard the term spirit guides. That's what psychic is, the ability to help us connect to information from outside of ourselves. So, like a really good example of that is, let's say you wake up in the middle of the night and you've had a dream. You've had a dream that, one time when I was much younger, I woke up in the middle of the night and there was this voice ringing in my head that was clear as day. I felt like somebody was in the room talking to me, and it said, "You're gonna get divorced now," and I didn't want that to be true, because my kids were little, and I, but it was so, and I was like, no, it can't be true. And I eventually, like a year later, it happened. And I feel like that was a voice of one of my guides, one of my angels, sort of preparing me for that, to happen. And then, one time when I met my another partner, I heard this voice, like I saw his face, and I heard this voice saying, "That's your new person." Like, it wasn't me. Do you know what I mean? It was coming from
Right.
outside myself. It was like a voice I heard in my head that was outside myself. That's really what psychic is like. So psychic comes through dreams, premonitions, interventions. Like sometimes our guides or our psychic ability will come through signs and omens. So people sometimes will see like numbers of people who see 333s or 111s, or we'll see like just sort of coincidences and synchronicities that happen often. Those are psychic experiences rather than the intuition. Does that make
So,
sense?
yeah, it totally makes sense. So now I want to ask you something about that voice that you heard that said you're going to get divorced soon. Now, were you having problems in the marriage where it was almost like, oh, that came at the right time? Or was the marriage like totally fine and you were like, why is this quote unquote person telling me this or this voice telling me this?
No, there was definitely some trouble going on there, and I'm the kind of person that I don't like surprises. I Like I can sort of deal with things if I get foreknowing, or I can sort of see it coming, or I can kind of begin to wrap my head around it. And I really didn't want it to be true. Like my daughter was a year old, and then my sons were 3 and 5. So it wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I was hoping for. I think we were in marriage counseling, and we were working through it. We were trying to work through it. But I do feel like that. It was such a loud voice, woke me up like somebody shouting in my ear, and I knew it that it was true, even though. And then afterwards, like I don't want it to be true. Maybe it's not true, but in that moment, like I knew that it was.
Now,
You
did
know?
you mention that voice to your ex-husband at the time?
I don't think I did. I don't think I did. I think I kept that one to myself. And often the real big psychic. So the problem with real psychic hits. And why people are a little nervous or scared about this is that they sometimes they're like about little things, like you don't forget your umbrella, or take the highway today because there's a problem on this other road you normally go. Like sometimes it's little things, but a lot of times the real guidance is really about changing our life. It's really deep, and it's also guidance from our soul or from that part of us that is moving us out of our comfort zone. And nobody really likes to be moved out of their comfort zone. We like a nice comfy like place, even if it's a hard place, like what we know is comfortable. And so the real psychic hits are usually about pushing us out of that. And we have resistance. Me too. Like sometimes I really resist that.
Right. Now, you also mentioned about the synchronicity in numbers, like when we see the big one is everyone when we see 1111, right? Or you mentioned the 333 or 444. What do all those numbers mean? Like I've heard the 1111, but quite honestly, every time I see it, I know it means something, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah, I think it's tricky to answer that because I think it means something different for everybody, and they talk about angel numbers. There are books you can get on angel numbers. If you feel like you're a person that's connected to angels, you can look them up. 1111 off is often considered the gateway. So what it means is you're standing on the edge of change. You're standing in the threshold between the old and the new, and I think when people notice those numbers, it means they're in the middle. They're at a crossroads in their life. They're going to change in some way. 333 is the angelic number, so it sort of means your angelic helpers are around you. And the other ones, like I hear about people who see numbers that are significant. It's their birthday, or it's the birthday of somebody who passed away, and they know when they see those numbers that it has a meaning to them.
Right. Now, how can a woman use these abilities that she has, right? Whether it's in intuition or her psychic abilities, and like you said, everyone has a different degree of it, right? How can she use that to find love again?
I think I we've talked about this you and I before, where I've been single for so long and I've been on so many dates, and I've been it's so curious to me to see how my own intuition comes up when I'm dating. And I think that what happens for me is that I go into a big argument inside my own head between my mind and the intuition. And my head will tell me, this is a nice guy. You never date nice guys. You should date the nice guy. You should try it on for size. Like I'm having that conversation. And for me, I have a very strong body response or an emotional response about a person that I think it can go either way. Like you might have a person that your mind is telling you isn't a good match, and your body wants that person, or your body, like, if you really learn to pay attention to, I know my body never lies. My body always tells me what's true for me, what's real for me, and is a huge way of my intuition talking to me. And I notice when I'm dating, like, do I really want to touch that person? Do I want to hold their hand? Am I recoiling from that? I think I once, like, ran out of a restaurant because some guy, we're standing in the foyer of the restaurant leaving, and he tried to kiss me, and I was like, no. Like my body was just a big no to that kiss, and I literally like ran out of it was kind of embarrassing actually, but it turned out later, like I let my mind override that, and it turned out later my body was right all along. I would have saved myself a lot of trouble if I had listened to that in the first place. So I think How do we really feel when we're around that person? Are we getting a yes or a no? Like a lot of times, you know, I think when we're dating, we get sort of green lights, yellow lights, and red lights, and that our intuition is feeding us the answers to that, because your mind will give you a different answer. You know, and if it's a green light, you go forward. If it's a yellow light, you just need more information. You need to spend more time with that person. And if you're in the yellow light, you'll either go to green or red. And if it's a red light, and it's really strong, your body, your knowing, and your feelings are all telling you something. I think honoring it sort of can really help us avoid mistakes when we're dating and when we're in relationships.
So what does it feel like? Like you talked to, I liked how you used the red light, yellow light, and the green light. And I get the sign for the red light, right? But when it's a yellow light, I think that's the sign that's so confusing for people because all too often women will say, "Yeah, he was okay. I mean, there wasn't anything wrong with him, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to go out on a second date." So what is it that is really holding her back? You said she just needs more information?
Yeah, and I think when if you're saying you don't, I don't know, that's the truth. You don't have enough information to make a decision, you know. And you could probably say better than I could, you know, what's better in that situation. In my experience, going forward, going okay, I'll keep an open mind. I'll go on another date. We'll see how it is until I feel it's either a yes or a no. And I don't know. Sometimes we need more information before we can really decide, you know, whether that person's in alignment with us or not. So I think an I don't know is a yellow light. If those words come out of your mouth, that's a yellow light, and you could get more information and move forward.
Okay, so now let's say it's the opposite. Let's say it's a green light, like super green, where there's so much chemistry and attraction, and you're like, I want to touch him. I don't, get repulsed from him and pull back. And I feel a real intimate connection, both in mind, body, and spirit. But can that sometimes throw you off when there's so much chemistry and attraction that he could still not be a good man for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think for sure. And you know, I talk a lot about what soulmates are, because soulmates, people come to psychics to find out about soulmates. It's sort of a hot topic these days. Everyone wants to know who their twin flame is and who their soulmate is. And from a psychic perspective, looking at how our contracts are with people. So a soul contract is when we're up there in heaven or soul world or whatever you want to call it, we make agreements with each other to be in relationships, specific kinds of relationships, to learn specific lessons. So most of the biggest, you know, your parents, your siblings, your spouses, your children, you know, those are kind of our soulmates. And we can have an agreement with a soulmate that is meant to teach us something. Like we think, we wish that that soulmate meant we're going to have a happy ever after with that person. And oftentimes, with a super hot chemistry, soulmates, what it's really about is about learning harder lessons. Learning, those people come to spark incredible transformation and growth in us. And sometimes they do it in a very adversarial way. Like, we need to set the relationship that I had like that was a person that I really, who really taught me how to say no and set boundaries and advocate for myself. You know, and it was a very hot chemistry. So I call these sort of in your face or face to face soulmates, because they get in your face and they bring up all your stuff. And I learned more in that relationship than I did probably in anyone. It was very short. It was only 8 months, and super intense chemistry. And I came out of the other end of that a changed person. Now, it didn't in a good way. And it was very painful, but I grew, you know. But it didn't have a happy ever after. So sometimes we have so I don't see that as a mistake or you know, a failure, relationship failure. I don't think there are actually relationship failures. I think it's all research. And we just learn, we learn and grow as we go, you know. And so sometimes the more companion, you know, we need to make sure we have companion energy or compatibility energy with people. And those are, I call them shoulder to shoulder soulmates. It's like you're facing the world together, holding hands. You're on a mission together. Like, I think of like two horses like hooked to the same wagon, and you're raising your family, or you're running your business, or you have a life partner. And sometimes there's less chemistry in those relationships and more compatibility. And I don't know, I think probably we experience some of both of those relationships in our life, because they're very different, and they help us grow in different ways. Now, those sparky hot ones, maybe their purpose, or the way that I see it, isn't the happy ever after, even though we think we want it to be.
Right, right. Now, so what I'm hearing you say then, because I get this question a lot, is, you know, do we have more than one soulmate in life? And based on what you said, we do.
Yes. It would be so sad if you only had one and he died tragically when he was 12 years old. What would you do? Well, you'd be alone, you know. So we have actually a soul family, a soul group. And I think the people that you can't get rid of even if you wanted to, those are like the inner circle. Those are our mates, our children, our siblings, our parents, and the super close people. And then we have sort of, it's like a spiral or like rings. And, you know, we need different things, and because also we have choice. So this is a free will world, and, you know, those contracts get arranged up there, but when you come down here, we have to choose and they have to choose. And sometimes our personalities get scared or things happen, just a crazy random world down here. So things happen. And if both people don't choose, then you need another candidate. You're like, your spirit guides will scramble around and bring forth another candidate for you. I think there's a really painful kind of loss or grief that happens with a broken contract. So sometimes people that are like absolutely inconsolable about the loss of a relationship, it's a broken contract. We get over it and I'm like, okay, that sucked, but I'm moving on. The ones where we can't get over it, even for years afterwards, that was like one person opted out of the contract. And that one's so hard to heal through that one.
So can you give examples of what you mean by contract?
Sure. So a contract is, it's just soul contract, is an agreement that we make with somebody before we incarnate. So when you're in heaven, you're floating around in heaven or soul world. I always called it soul world when I was a little kid. You know, you're coming down onto this planet to have a certain experiences, maybe to understand love or to learn how to set boundaries or to heal through specific wounds, like maybe to heal through an abandonment wound that you've been working through some of your past lives. Now, I believe in past lives because I see it all the time. And that, this is just my theory. I only believe this because I experience it over and over again as a psychic for my whole life. So, take it with a grain of salt and see if it feels true for you. But what happens is we make those agreements that we make with other people. Like, you know, I made an agreement to be the mother of my children. You know, and that, so that's a contract. Or I made an agreement with my children's father to be married. We were married for 15 years. And I know that part of our agreement was having the kids, you know, that was part of our agreement. And that another strong part of the agreement was the way that we handled our divorce was actually the most growthful and important part of the relationship, you know, and because we handled it pretty well. Both of us did. We have a nice post-marriage relationship. We've been divorced for longer than we were married, and we get along great. But I think, you know, it wasn't for a happy ever after. It was for the children and a specific amount of time and what happened at the end. So I think that, you know, movies and Disney and all these things have given us a very fantasy idea of what a soulmate relationship is, that there's some perfect other that's going to meet all your needs and fulfill everything about you and fix all the broken places. And, you know, it's a very idealized fantasy version of, I'm not saying that people aren't happily married, because lots of people are, thank God. But I don't think we automatically get that the way that we see it in the movies.
Right. So it's not like the fairy tales, right?
No, really, it's not most of the time.
Because I think that's the false sense that a lot of people have about soulmates is it's like, oh, this is going to be the most perfect relationship. We're going to connect on every level.
Yes.
And then, you know, then like you said, when it doesn't work out, those are probably the hardest relationships to get over is when you really thought this was your soulmate and you were going to spend the rest of your life with him, right?
Exactly. Yeah, people really get, you know, and I think now more than ever, especially in spiritual communities, there are people that are really, and I've seen some people, some women throw away like a really great relationship because they didn't feel like that person was their soulmate, or they felt like their twin flame is out there somewhere. And maybe instead of working on the relationship that they had, they discarded it. And that makes me sad. I've seen it kind of frequently.
So can a relationship work with a man that you feel like you have an amazing connection with in mind, body, and soul, but you don't feel like he's your soulmate? Can a relationship still work?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and I think if that was the case, I would ask that person, like, well, what do you think a soulmate is? And what do you think that would feel that? What do you think it's supposed to feel like? Like, what's missing for you? You know, is it a spiritual connection that's missing, or is it a physical connection? Is it the chemistry that's missing? Like, what's missing in the relationship? And is that something that you can bring into the relationship if you work on the relationship? Is it something that you need to outsource? Because I don't think that we really get every single need we have met from one person. I just don't really know how that happens, you know? And we may get like 80% of what we need from our spouse, but we need like a spiritual connection. So we go with our girlfriends to yoga class or meditation class or, you know, that kind of thing. Like that expectation that there's one person that meets all your needs. I just don't think that's something that's like really realistic. I don't see that happen. People compromise, people negotiate, people work on things. They go to counseling or they work on, and you get most of what you need and then you outsource the rest. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think it depends. I think that every situation is different. What I always tell my clients too, and I think this is really important, is that you're never going to find someone who is number one, 100% perfect, but that has every single thing that you're looking for.
Right.
If you do find that person that has 100% of what you're looking for, then you really hit the jackpot. But it's very rare to find exactly what you're looking for. It's like a needle in a haystack. So what I always tell my clients is that you have to really think about what are your wants versus your needs, right? And the needs should be the most important things. Wants are nice to have and aren't absolutely necessary, but it's important to get clear on those things so that when you do meet certain men is that you're not blinded by the chemistry and attraction so that you don't see whether he's good or bad for you, right?
Exactly.
So I think with chemistry and attraction, a lot of times people can get really blinded by that, and he could be the totally wrong man for you, but you're so blinded by that, that you keep moving the relationship forward when it's going nowhere.
Yeah. And for me, I don't know if, you know, what, if every woman is like this, but for me, sometimes my attraction to a person grows when I get to know them over time, you know? So, you know, a person that, and I always liked meeting people kind of the old fashioned way, which is not in a dating situation, but in another situation and getting to know them slowly over time. That has been like where most of my really good relationships have come from. And then all of a sudden, when I know their personality, all of a sudden the chemistry sparks, you know, and I think it can grow when, as people reveal who they really are and we get to know them.
Right. So now, Lisa, what would you say to the woman that says, it's too late for me to find love, Lisa? It's really great what you said, but I still think it's too late. What would you say?
Oh, I don't think it's ever too late. It's never too late. There are certain spiritual lessons and personhood lessons that just we only get in relationship. I think it's a really essential part of our growth and our needs and what makes life fun and worthwhile. And, you know, metaphysicians and philosophers and all of, you know, have said the world is made out of love, like the universe is made out of love. And we are here to experience love. to really experience love. That's why we incarnate. That's why we come onto this planet. When you're in heaven, you have like the concept of love. But if you want to have the experience of love, you got to come down here and have a body and, you know, relate to people. And we always need that. Some of our most incredibly powerful transformative experiences come through relationship. We're not meant to be alone. We're not meant to be here without that. So absolutely, I think it's never too late.
Oh, I love that. So Lisa, this has been amazing. So can you share with the ladies how they can find you?
Sure. Come to my website, lisacampion.com. I would love to see you there. I have a lot of free resources. Right now I have a free gift that when you go there, that's a guide to help sensitive people, empathic people, learn how to manage their sensitivity. And being a sensitive and empath in the dating world is so hard. It's like, I don't know how empaths ever manage to date because it's super painful. But that's what's there today. And I'd love to have you stop by and visit me, lisacampion.com.
Awesome. So ladies, go get that, especially if you're an empath, because I know, as an empath myself, I know what Lisa's talking about. And if you don't know what an empath is, Lisa, how can they find out if they are truly an empath? Like, I know there's tests online, but do you have a way?
Yeah, and actually on that little mini course I have on my website, there's a way. But, you know, if you really are so sensitive that you're really experiencing other people's feelings, like they're your feelings, like if you feel like you're an emotional sponge, just sponging up everything that's around you, that's a really good sign that you're an empath.
Right. All right. So yeah. Ladies, go get Lisa's free gifts. So thanks everybody for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. Our show is available both in audio format and video format, which can be found at yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation. Get access to show notes and get more amazing content.